Hello, music friend. Welcome to the Compassionate Measures podcast. I'm Jennifer. We offer intimate conversations with singer-songwriters who use their talents to change the world. You'll have a rare opportunity to discover the artists behind the music, what moves them to act, and how you can contribute to the projects we'll learn about from these amazing musicians. So pull up a chair and let's talk. For more than 20 years as one of America's hardest working bands, Antigone Rising has established a far-reaching reputation for sticking to their instincts. While the all-female New York natives' live performances have earned the long-term devotion of fans, Antigone Rising's passionate social conscience continues to manifest itself in the group's tireless activism. In 2012, Antigone Rising was invited by the U.S. State Department to travel as cultural ambassadors to conduct outreach workshops in Israel, Palestine, and the West Bank. After touring the Middle East, the band traveled to Asia, Europe, Mexico, and throughout the United States. In 2014, the band brought that program home by launching the ambitious nonprofit organization Girls Rising, whose live presentations reflect the same passionate belief that drives the trio's music. Throughout the year, Girls Rising partners with local school districts and youth centers. Programs are designed to inspire and empower young girls and LGBTQ youth through live performances, presentations, and workshops. The band also presents the annual Girls Rising Music Festival and Game Changers Awards, now in its sixth year. Additionally, the organization awards scholarships to deserving girls established through private donations and celebrity grants created by Melissa Etheridge, Joan Jett, Carney Wilson, and Paula Cole. During a year of pandemic seclusion, new songs were written and recorded through the magic of home studios and Dropboxes. A successful Kickstarter campaign enabled the band to complete their album, True Joy, in 2022. The album's highlights include the song Avalanche, a personal anthem to female empowerment, and Badlands, a song co-written with Grammy Award-winning songwriter Lori McKenna. Welcome, Antigone Rising, all three of you guys, to the Compassionate Measures podcast. Thank you so much for sitting down to talk with us.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome, you guys.
Introduction. We should have you do that for us every time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who wrote that?
That would be Julie.
Oh.
Yeah. She's awesome. She is so good. Really? But no, we certainly appreciate you being here. You know, through our conversations, we like to gain an understanding about the artists behind the music, the organizations that you support, and then finally, how we might contribute to those charitable projects. So if you're ready to get started, I've got some questions for you.
Yeah, let's do it. Fire away.
Great. We'll pull up a chair. So maybe you take turns or whoever wants to take, you know, the lead on these questions, but can you tell us what sparked your personal journeys into philanthropy?
I'll go. You know, I think we're always in. What's that?
We'll go in age order.
Okay. That's Kathy, by the way.
Wisdom order. That's what happens with age. Like fine wine. So I think, in a way, we were always philanthropic, right? Because
yeah,
we're giving of, you know, music, right? But it's a passion. So it's a natural, you know, it's natural for us. It wasn't for us, you know, as a group, and it became obvious as individuals that our trajectory would become much wider as far as, you know, bringing Girls Rising to life when we became the cultural ambassadors for the State Department. And we saw kind of firsthand the effect of who we were. You know, I think it was almost more important that we were an all-female group mm-hmm. playing music, and that was an anomaly, unbelievably still, you know, for people to even see. For me personally, that's when it really solidified that we need to kind of do this stuff back at home, because this stuff is just as needed back at home. We were doing it in Israel and Palestine, and then we did do it again a few years later, all throughout Vietnam. They were tremendous experiences, and we were able to perform and do workshops from small classrooms and community centers all the way up to large, arenas. And we saw the impact of the music, and again, who we were as people and what that how that inspired, obviously girls and women, but it's also good for everyone to see how,
Everyone, right?
women can do anything, which is a strange thing that I can't really even wrap my head around why you wouldn't think so. But that's for me was kind of when the light went off that, hey, there's something broader here. It's while we love, passionately love playing and writing music and collaborating with other artists and doing all those great things, which are just as important. That for me is when the vision kind of broadened to, wow, we actually are making an impact on a lot more levels than we even thought of.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nini or Kristen, do you have anything to add?
I don't know. I think that was pretty great.
It was. Can you decide, excuse me, can you describe the moment when the band came back to the United States and decided to launch your own nonprofit?
This is Nini. I don't know that we had a specific moment. I do think once we were doing the work over there, we realized it was almost a natural slide into it. I mean, obviously there was a conscious effort to create a nonprofit and to find the words and the structure to create a nonprofit. So that was a conscious effort. But I think by the time we got home, we knew this was happening. It was
I
already
would.
in motion.
I do want to interject, though, that I do believe, this is Kristen speaking, I do believe there was an exact moment, honestly. I remember it vividly. We were sitting backstage with the Bengals. We were on tour with the Bengals. And they had said to us, and this was like 2011-ish, I think. And they had said, we remember when you guys got signed, and we thought, finally, here comes the onslaught that, started with the Runaways, the Go-Go's, the Bengals, and now finally, it's like becoming normal to see an all-female rock band. It doesn't make people uneasy. And we were just waiting for you guys to explode out of the cannon, and then it just never really, it sort of just went along a certain trajectory, which was the same for the Bengals. Ultimately, when you look at, say, the career of a band like U2. And a band like the Bengals, who have all had massive hits from the 80s. Like, why is it that U2 is now at the Sphere? And I mean, it's a debate you can have any levels, but they're playing rooms like the Stone Pony in Asbury Park, even like a Duran Duran, want to take something, Duran Duran to the Bengals. It's like, why do the female bands sort of get pushed out, but the men are allowed to sustain and still be playing arenas? And so anyway, it was in that moment that I think when we said there's more we can be doing, and by coming together, you're always stronger than apart. So that was just an inspiring moment, I think, that got,
Absolutely.
pushed us along.
No, that's fascinating. That's great. Can you remember then a particularly rewarding instance when you recognized that your voice did make a difference? Whether there was a moment during a Girls Rising event or during your travels, or even something that you witnessed from the stage. It's like we're kind of where everything clicked. And maybe, personally, individually, you thought, we're doing it.
I was going to say that even before we started the nonprofit, we would have moms and parents bringing their girls to the front of the stage or to the side of the stage, saying, "Will you sign her shirt or her guitar or her, we just wanted her to see you doing what you do. And, you know, that somehow we were already becoming these role models for these younger, these younger kids who were younger girls specifically. Mm-hmm. And for them to actually see us on stage doing that. So I think even from before we had the notion like, oh, this is a thing. Like this is, you know, you don't realize because you're just doing what you do.
Right.
We were playing and doing what we loved. But when you started realizing that it had other levels, there were different levels to what we were doing just by being, just by representing, we were participating in this long game, this long conversation of creating change.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Nini, and to Nini's point, it wasn't just the daughters, right? It was the mothers too. Like they'd bring their mothers. So we saw sort of the generational influence. I do have to say too, though, that trip to the Middle East was very poignant for me. And I know for these guys too. It was like Beatlemania. When we were there, we were like, so many people would come to see us and it was kind of mayhem to the point where I'm like, we should have had like a full on security, like detail, because people just were coming up to us. And I think that too, sort of really solidified, wow, you know, kind of pulling us out of our own element that we've been in for so long and giving us a new perspective. Like, wait a minute, we are, you know, this is something that's kind of larger than us.
To Kristen. Certainly are making a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. The sum is greater than the parts itself, but that's kind of, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And the video of that trip is remarkable. I can't say enough good things about it. What energizes you in your involvement in Girls Rising? We've talked about how you give back and the impact of young women and moms and grandmothers. What energizes you about your involvement in Girls Rising?
It's Kristen again. I think we were debating who should field this one. I think, you know, what energizes us the most is, you know, first of all, it keeps us super busy, you know, so it's like a way to keep moving for us, you know, and it's a way that we found we can, you know, gives us a purpose. And we see it even just from in our local community. You know, there's a lot of young kids here who we've worked with and who we've sort of helped, you know, what would you say? What's the right word? There's a word that just fell right out of my brain. Developed, been helping develop them. And so that's super rewarding on like a daily basis because we get to see those kids all the time. But then on an even bigger basis, it's like when we get to travel on tour and see these kids in schools who, you know, usually what we do is, especially with the festival, is we'll pick kids that we've, you know, visited over the course of the year, mm-hmm. and bring them to the festival. Have, you know, if there's musicians, kids who are musicians. So there's been, you know, kids like that. So for us, it's like, it's a way for us to give it back, you know, to provide those opportunities that we always felt like there's a frustration for female artists. You know, it is what it is. You know, we talk about it backstage all the time when we're on tour with other female artists, how, especially in like the early 2000s, late 90s, 2000s, there was like we were pitted against each other. It was competitive, you know, and it would be like that female artist got that bill or that female artist got booked on that festival. There's not room for more than one female artist. And so for us to be able to provide a platform that's all female and to just be like, you don't have to sweat the fact that we've already booked Paula Cole, so we can't have Sean Colvin, or, you know, on a much lower scale, you know, we've already got the local female singer songwriter, so now we can't have the other, you know, that we just wipe that away and make it, you know, a fair playing field for all female artists. You know, it's the boys who get left out now, and we're kind of unapologetic about it, honestly.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that you're average music lover understands then the power of, you know, the cruises and the other all female festivals. I mean, it really is remarkable just that in Europe. Yeah. Yeah.
Truly it is. It's impossible. I mean, when you think about what Sarah McLachlan did in the late 90s with Lilith, right? Mm-hmm. And the success of that, there's an alarm going off. Can you hear the alarm? All right. The success of Lilith Fair back in the 90s and what that meant. But now, you know, I don't know. There's like two ways to look at that. It was such an amazing accomplishment and feat. I can't imagine what it took out of Sarah as an artist. You know, I would love to actually sit down and talk to her about that. But, and because I know what it takes for us to put on that one festival that we do every year and the outreaches we do, right? So to put together an entire festival and then still have a career of your own, it's just impossible. It's impossible. I do think it's why she sort of did drop out for a little bit. You know, we weren't seeing her for a while, but that it can't be you know, they've tried it again and again, and it's failed to do that same level of festival. So that it sort of reduces that accomplishment to like an anomaly, like a moment, a fad, you know, that how can that just be a one moment in time type thing, you know? It just seems impossible to me. Anyway, that's just me therapizing. That was a therapy session.
No, that was a good session. I mean, kind of along those lines too, you know, I've seen the video of you guys working with Melissa Etheridge, you know, so I mean, she's got her thing and, the Brandi Carlile's Girls Just Wanna. So, I mean, really you look at kind of the scope of how things have grown and developed. And again, that's certainly a takeaway, you know, a real aha moment for me who hadn't had the opportunity or the knowledge to think about it before. So yeah, fascinating. Kristen, you mentioned earlier about how Girls Rising keeps you busy. I guess my question for the three of you would be, how do you carve out time? I know you've got busy careers, you've got family. How do you carve out time for Girls Rising?
We text each other and tell each other we need this. You just do, you know.
Yeah. When half the time. I don't know half the time how we get anything done.
You know, I mean, we've had staff who, you know, obviously that help keep us running things, and you know, the people contact us all the time to come to, you know, do workshops and things. So you know, now that the ball's rolling, it rolls, you know, and you just kind of roll with it.
Yeah. I also think though, as artists, and I mean, I think it's probably true for a lot of our friends too, peers who are, you know, we work in like fits and spurts. So like when we go down hard and we're gone, you know what I mean? And we get a break and we raise kids and we go to the, you know, the basketball games and the cross games. And then when we're on, it's like a 24 hour, you know, we're kind of like, our partner's worst nightmares, maybe, because it's like they get so used to us being really available and then we become really unavailable, like to the point where we're not even in the house, you know, we're gone when we're touring. And then when we are here and it's festival time, you know, we're pretty much useless other than just the festival all the time, planning, calling in favors, creating grants, you know, finding kids who, you know, to receive them. It's a lot of work. I mean, that's what I was saying. I can't imagine how Sarah functioned through Lilith Fair, the amount of work that it entails, even on a level like, you know, she's probably had so many promoters and people involved as well. And we do too, when we, you know, we have other people involved, obviously our management and, you know, other people within the organization, but it's just a chaotic amount of work. So when we go in like we don't come up for air.
Wow. Have any of your charitable endeavors, anything that you did through Girls Rising, led to new music for the band?
Well, I think early on, Game Changer was maybe the first song written specifically with with the nonprofit already sort of in the ether. And it quickly became sort of the theme song for the nonprofit. So that was the first, but honestly, after the nonprofit surfaced and sort of became a tangible thing, I think it also helped lead the band's direction. So the two are not separate things. The two are very intertwined and very reciprocal. And I think once we opened the door to Girls Rising and to the awareness of what we were trying to accomplish, it was almost impossible to separate the songs that were being written. It's a conscious awareness. So I think once you are there, you can't really step back.
Right, right.
Which is not to say everything is strictly for that, but it is very simpatico.
Sure.
Yeah. We definitely started writing less about alcohol.
Yeah.
To the side.
Yes, there was a clear line drawn. You can.
There was a clear line. No more songs about whiskey. Let's get that off. Yeah, we did it. We did that already.
That's great. What would you like for us to take away from today's conversation as your call to action?
As our call to action?
Yes, yes. What do we need to know and give thought to and be working on as your call to action?
Well, I think it's following your heart and following your passion and never denying yourself that, because that's who you truly are, you know? And music is such a wonderful vehicle. We've been blessed to be able to play music and do it for so long. And so it's a wonderful way to bring people together and to create an experience that, you know, is joyful. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to just spread joy, like our CD says, true joy. We're joyful doing this and ultimately spreading that joy. But what you want people to take from it is the inspiration for them to follow their hearts, follow their dreams and passions. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And, you know, don't deny yourself that. That's the call to action I would put forth.
Kristen, did you unmute?
I was going to say, you know, along those lines, that our career has been filled with like leap and the net will appear moments, you know. And I always say this cautiously, because now I do have kids and I can understand how worrisome that must have been for mine and Kathy's parents. I'm sure Nini's too. The amount of leaping we did without a net, thinking the net will appear. What I can say for us is that more often than not, we were heading in a direction and we got pushed to the left or to the right and ended up a little bit off path, but realizing maybe this is the path we're supposed to be on. So we've always kept an open mind in that way, and that it's really good to go through life in that way. Because it's not always going to be the path you think. Like, we were thinking, hey, we're about to explode into outer space as a rock band. And instead we've sort of veered to the left and have become actually what we were supposed to be, which is, you know, helping LGBTQ kids and helping girls and helping other artists see that there's more to it than just, you know, you being famous. So I think that's been super rewarding for us. And so I would say our call to action is to do that, follow your heart and know that regardless of the path you're following, it's going to take you to where you're supposed to be, you know. And, you know, to simplify it, if you want the spaghetti bolognese, then you should order the spaghetti bolognese. That's what I learned.
That's good. That's good.
You know, to add to that, what I find is that our presentations and our workshops very much speak to the kids. But what I have found also is that one of the very important things that permeates is like you were saying before, is you don't know that you don't think the average music fan is aware of the hardships that go on that. And so I do feel like even parents and educators, and I think it's important to know that the girls are listening. And in our society, the messages that permeate are, you know, very conflicting. And there's a lot of girl power, girl strength, but there's a lot of conflicting messages and imagery and expectation. And I do feel like, as I was saying before, where once your consciousness is aware, it's hard to go back. And so I think for everyone to sort of try to be aware that the girls are listening and they're watching, and everything that we do as a society matters. And, you know, we can tell our girls, follow your heart and be strong and be true. But at the same time, some of the messaging that we're sending is in direct opposition to that. So with Girls Rising, I feel like part of our message is that is for the girls, follow your heart, but then also for the grown people around you and even the boys who are sitting next to them, if they can have an awareness of the discrepancies, of the disparity in the workforce, that is part of the game-changing behavior as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if you combine your three responses to that, it's like the best thought-provoking advice in the world. That was really good. And I appreciate it, you guys. So what is the band working on these days? How can we support you?
You can pray that we're going to start working on a new album soon, that we could use your positive thoughts in regard to that.
We could make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, we've been, you know, a little sluggish as of late, sort of, I think, collecting the creative juices that we need, hibernating a little. And we have some things coming up. We're going to be going out on an Olivia Cruz. Nene and I did an off-Broadway show for a bit with Jill Sobule. So we've sort of branched out a bit. Kathy did an off-Broadway show with Dina, our former drummer. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So we've been branching out a little and sort of expanding, pushing ourselves outside of our normal boundaries. Nene played bass in the show, which was wild. We actually acted. That was pretty intense. So we were not sitting around doing nothing, but as far as Antigone, we need thoughts and prayers that we will come together and start working on a new album, because there's a lot to write about, I think, especially in the coming year. I think it's probably a good year to like take our cues from whatever's happening in the headlines and start writing songs about it. So.
Great. Anything? Yes. Thank you, Kristen. Anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. You know, we ebb and flow, and we're, you know, ebbing and flowing and coming back together again. I know that I've been very inspired with writing. And so I would say absolutely there's stuff coming down the pike. You know, when is the question?
Great. Looking forward to it. So links to both Antigone Rising's website and to Girls Rising will be included on our website and in the show notes for today's episode. This has been a great conversation, and I so appreciate your time. I'd like to kind of go back to the video that you referenced about, you know, your trip to the Middle East, and just want to say, if you want to be sincerely moved by a universal, I mean, truly a universal response to Antigone Rising's efforts, please watch the Girls Rising video. It inspires me each and every time I see it. To me, the video encapsulates the success of your incredible mission, because that was clearly a success, your amazing talent, and the undeniable energy between you and your young audiences. At that time, there's an indescribable feeling of empowerment with both young boys and young girls, which was amazing to see as well. And so much heart contained in just those few minutes, 5 minutes of film. So I really encourage folks to watch it because it's a very, very powerful video. It really demonstrates the life-changing work that you're doing, and we celebrate Antigone Rising. Thank you so much to all of you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. You can find links to our guest bio and the organizations that were mentioned in the show notes. Hear more conversations at compassionatemeasures.org and invite another music friend to pull up a chair. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to podcasts, or let us know what you think over on the website. Join our community on Facebook or Instagram, and please consider making a small donation to those charities that we learn about from our guests on the show. Thanks always to you for listening, to our incredible guest artist who's out there changing the world, and to Chris Downey for putting it all together. We'll see you next time on the Compassionate Measures podcast.